The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes, who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in the synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and, as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good evening. So we see here in the widow's mite, as it's called, that she contributed her whole livelihood. And we could sum it up as maybe this: she was a disciple of Jesus from the heart. She was a disciple from the heart, because from the heart comes all good things. We've been for the past 3 weeks looking at together, all of us together, Father Mike and I included, at what does it mean to be a disciple? What really matters if we want to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ? To start off by saying, first, have that desire in our heart to be discipled. Disciple me, Lord. Coach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. And we know if that's really where our hearts are, he's going to want to send us. As he sent the 12, and then he sent the 72, and then he sent the other ones. He said, go to all nations. As he's done through the times, he sends his disciples. And we too have been sent. We're here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we could also tie being a disciple to this widow, that she's also a missionary. A disciple is a missionary, and the word missionary from the Latin word missio means sent. And when we finish our time of worship here, we'll all be sent. The deacon will say, go in peace. The mass is ended. Go. Go. And your mass begins. My mass begins. As we go back to our homes and we offer those sacrifices that we bring and lay on the altar every week. And so on this concept of being a disciple, the first week we talked about a disciple in worship. Worship matters. Our worship matters. It goes beyond the pew. These gold bowls up here, I kind of like them symbolizing the ciborium that we hold up, or, you know, or the paten that the priest holds up. Because in here are the names of all of our loved ones. Whether you wrote them down and put them there, or they're in your heart, God can answer all of them every time we come to Mass. So Mass goes beyond the pew. And it engages in our worship, actually the heavenly realm. And so our worship matters, as we discussed, for our good and for the good of his whole church. When the priest enters, invites us into, and I will in a moment, the Eucharistic sacrifice, the source and summit of our faith. When I say, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. And you'll respond, may the Lord accept. Can you help me? So worship matters for our good and the good of all His church, right? So being a disciple, coming to Mass is more than just checking a box. It matters. It really matters for our good and the good of His whole church, which is not just on earth, but also those who have passed. And during this month where we think of All Souls Day, we don't know what happens exactly after that, but we know our prayers have meaning, and they did in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is good to pray for the living and the dead. And those who are saints, they don't need our prayers All Saints Day. That was all the unknown saints, not St. Francis of Assisi and St. Ignatius, the unknown saints. They don't need our prayers. They're already there. They're praying for us. So when a saint arrives, they pray for us. But souls in path, we don't know what they need, so we pray for them. So our worship matters. As a disciple, spiritual growth matters. That was the second week. We talked about our spiritual growth, seeking that out. To be missionaries, sent to what? Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Good news, which is news of joy, of hope. How many people need hope right now? Of peace, of love, authentic love. I will die for you, love. So as missionaries and disciples, we're sent, and so our spiritual growth matters. That we feed ourselves on the spiritual things so that we have something to give. You can't give what you don't have. To grow in the faith. And then the third, we talk about giving from the heart, that giving as a disciple to give is a form of worship. Is a form of worship. And we see it. She was sent to the temple. In her heart, she wanted to be a disciple. And look at Jesus. It's like we can see him in the mind's eye. Imagine just sitting in the corner of Jesus. Jesus was even kind of unnoticed. He was like us in all things but sin. His divinity was concealed in his humanity. And he's sitting in the corner and he's watching people come in. And everybody who came in that temple, he loved with a radical love. But that widow tugged on his sacred heart in a special way. I'd like to share with y'all a story of the first missionary I ever met. And the first missionary I ever met was when I was a teenager. I was a sophomore in high school. And I was really kind of grateful. When I grew up, I mean, I went to public school all my life. My cousins went to Marist High School in Atlanta or St. Pius High School in Atlanta and all that. And, you know, I always felt connected. I had friends in all schools, even the other public schools, in the Woodward Academy and Westminster Academy, love it. All these private schools. And we're so blessed here at St. Gabriel's because we have like 9 that feed in here. But the blessing was, in our parish, we all knew each other. We all kind of got together and we knew each other, which was awesome. But one of the things that really helped me in my own personal formation, not to project it, but my own and my parents, was I never had service hours. I was never given, you got to go focused on in the hearts of my brothers and sisters, hearts that served. I'm not saying I always got it right. I was pretty selfish as a child at times. But instead of counting hours to serve, so my mom came up to me, and this is how I met the first missionary in my life as a sophomore in high school. She came up to me one Saturday morning and said, "Hey, your brother Christopher and your brother Pat, y'all are going down to downtown Atlanta, and you're helping a new parishioner of ours move from downtown Atlanta up near our parish, because she is a senior that needs help moving, and the parish is adopting her, and you need to go." And my first thought as a sophomore in high school was like, really? I want to go. I'm going to be with my friends. Not that I didn't want to do that, but I had things I wanted to do on Saturday. It was a whole week of school. So we went. And I remember kind of going reluctantly, but I had to put on, as we call it, the Sutter smile. We all smile the same. And I asked somebody once, I asked my mom once, I'm like, "Mom, why do we all," they call me, I'll give you my nickname in high school. You little ones will probably call me this. My nickname in high school was Smiley. It literally was Smiley. And it was because we had 5 a.m. basketball practice in the morning. And all my buddies were like doing this because we only had one gym and we had to rotate. And I go, and I was always smiling. And they're like, "Stop smiling." So, but I asked my mom once, I said, "Mom, why do we all smile like this?" She goes, "Oh, that's easy. I'm 1 of 6. She said, "When you're all babies, I used to just hover over the crib and smile at you." So we all have our mom smile. all my brothers and sisters, our eyes crinkle up and all that. So I put on my best Sutter smile, but really in my heart, I'm like, oh, I wish I was doing something else. So we go down in there and we go up, take the elevator up, and we get there, and there was Helen Kopchak. Helen Kopchak is, there's no doubt in my mind, every time we hit All Saints Day, Helen Kopchak is one of the unknown saints. No doubt. That woman is a saint. And she was the first missionary I ever met. She wasn't religious. She had never been married. She was an orphan her whole life and grew up in an orphanage. When I met her, and the whole time I knew her, she had her walker, she had her oxygen, and she had one eye that she was unable to see. But in the one eye she could see, she had a twinkle and she had a smile. And she, from her heart, knew she was a disciple of Jesus and knew she was a missionary. And she was even trying and was working on evangelizing the heart of my own brother and brothers and I. She did. And we moved her up. And Helen was always at the 11 o'clock mass in the front row every Sunday, even when I came home from college, even when I came home from the military, even when I came home from my time working outside New York City, she was always there. And every time I came into mass, even years later, I'd come into mass and Helen was always there and she'd go. And she'd call me over. And I'd go over and I knew what she was going to do, but I wanted to resist. I'm like, no. Because I knew the parish was helping her. And I'd go over there and she'd smile and she'd say, how you doing? How's everything? She knew everything about it. She knew what was going on in my life. She knew my name. Then she'd say, put out your hand. And I'm like, Helen, you don't have to do it. She'd always give me a crumpled up $1 bill. Go get something for yourself. But you see, what happened as a teenager and later as a young adult is a relationship developed with Helen. It was so beautiful because I'd come home and I said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to go see Helen. And I knew she liked she liked apple pie, so I'd go get her apple pie and I'd take it. I'd sit down and we'd talk about Atlanta Braves because she loved the Braves. So we talk about that and we just talk. But you know what? Helen knew. She gave example to me as a teenager of what it meant to worship. She was there in the front row. It was the most important moment of her day. And it took a lot to get there on the weekend. I'm so grateful for the example of our seniors. If we knew how much it took for them to get here, the hours that they had to prepare to get here, the effort that it took, the sacrifice. I see it in my own parents. It's priceless. And she gave me witness without saying a word that she was a disciple who worshiped. Spiritual growth, every time I talked to her, she was talking about the things that she was reading. She was always trying to talk to me about the Bible, trying to teach me something. She was always praying a rosary, just things that she was doing. I'm praying for you, Richard, just so you know, I hope it goes well. She took an interest in me. And she truly was an example of one who gave of her whole livelihood. Helen had one request, though. And my mom was a Eucharistic minister for the parish, and she'd take the Holy Communion down to the hospitals and stuff when our Monsignor Reynolds couldn't go at our parish. And so there were two or three trips where I went with my mom because Helen was, that poor woman was in and out of the hospital. I mean, it was just crazy. Every time I turned around, she was going to the hospital. Years. And she had one request to my mom when we went down there one time. She goes, I just want to die and pass to see Jesus in one of our Catholic hospitals in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, the day came where she was called down, and my mom and I weren't able to get there. I think Monsignor Reynolds got there at some point, but weren't able to get back down there. Helen wasn't in the Catholic hospital. And the medical staff came to her and said to her, because they told all of us afterwards, said to her, what can we do for you? Do you have any last requests? And she said, yes. Yes, and none of them were Catholic. None of the nurses, none of the doctors. She said, will you pray the rosary with me? She died teaching them about Mary and teaching them to pray the rosary and talking to them about Jesus. That woman was a disciple of the Lord. That woman was a teacher to me. That woman was a coach to me. That woman was a missionary for me. That woman, Helen Kopchak, is a saint in heaven. And I probably wouldn't be a priest today if it wasn't for her prayers. My brothers and sisters in Christ, when I hear this gospel and I think of someone giving their whole livelihood, I think of Helen Kopchak. I think of Helen Kopchak. Where is Jesus sending you this week? Where does he want to send you? How does he want you to give? To give is truly to receive. How does he want you to give? We all have something to give. Some can give in various ways, in the way they teach or they coach or they help. Some can give and they can be there with the youth. Helping out with the youth. We have Life Team after this. Some can give, and they do amazingly in this parish, with financially. And that helps other missionaries go out. That's huge. Imagine what we could do. Imagine what we could do in this city. I'm not worried about the other cities. This city. What we could do for our parish, what we do for the 9 high schools that feed in here, the 9 independent living homes that Deacon Michael and Denise and others and Father Mike and I, we go to. We got people in our independent homes who don't even have any family member around. They don't have any family. Their family members are out of state. And we're getting their names. We're finding out who are. We got a lot of Helen Kopchaks out there. Imagine what we can do is if we all come together as we're doing here to worship, and we worship and we pray for them. Imagine what we do is if we all come together and not like there's a cookie cutter solution, it's got to be the same, but in our own way, seek spiritual growth. Seek spiritual growth. Imagine if we all come together and really look and say, how can I give, and how can I give to the point that it hurts? Not necessarily my surplus, but how can I give? Why? To give what? To the mission. To the mission. When I think of the young people in the 9 schools that feed into here, I'm hearing story after story after story after story of young people that are searching and looking for hope. And we got it. Hope is here. And to invite others to come here to find their hope in the Lord who made heaven and earth. Who was the first missionary you ever met?